We want to thank everybody for coming out and welcome you off the internet and wherever you may be listening. And we've had some horrible news, as you know, in Newtown, Connecticut.
Oh, yes.
And we want to ask everybody here to be, when you go to your prayer closet, to please be praying for the families. It's too late to pray for the people. You know, and I don't have any doubt that the children are safe. Okay?
Amen.
But it's the people who, and we know there's not a record of accountability in the scriptures, but we know when you can distinguish between what's right and wrong and can make that determination that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, at that point in time, if you have heard the gospel and you have rejected the gospel of the grace of God, then guess what? You're going to hell if you reject the gospel of the grace of God. I just hope everybody will see. There's 20 children, and how many, Joe? Eight? Seven or eight adults?
Eight.
That's including the mother.
Yeah.
Six grown-ups.
Six grown-ups, he says. Yeah. Well, it was a lot.
And so.
Now, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, just look at that real quick, would you? Of course, the Apostle Paul wrote the book in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Talking about Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. This is a present and evil world. You're at enmity with God. You were born at enmity with God. That's an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy of the Trinity. Any objections? It sounds like people know that they're sinners in here, born sinners. They're guilty of the natural sin that's passed upon by birth and the sins that you commit. That's the natural man. So, you know, we all have a free will. We have a free will to do good, and we have a free will to do evil. God is not going to stop you from committing evil. You've got a free will. The will of the Father is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. We know, and I want to address this, Rich. We're talking about last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, about the angels of darkness, which is Satan's angels, being transformed into the angels of light. And you were right with Scripture today. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, about you might very well bear with it. Don't give in to Satan is what it's talking about. For God is their belly. And they, unbelievers, are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How do I know that? That it can't be believers. How do I know that? Go to Romans chapter 7. There's a conflict between the old and new nature. What does he say in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17? I'm going to go to Galatians first. Chapter 5. This is where you're at every day of your life, the moment you're saved. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, with a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit that dwells within a saved person. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's always going to be present with you. Does that mean a believer is an enemy of the cross of Christ? If that's the case, we're all enemies. I don't see how you can get around it. But we're not enemies of the cross of Christ. Our flesh is. Because in Paul, in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, let's move over there and let's just see what he has to say. Paul, the greatest apostle ever walked the face of the earth, says this in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual and I am carnal, so we'll under sin. And I want to stop right there because how we got on this topic is the Newtown, Connecticut. That guy that did the killing was carnal, sold under sin. You can't tell me an individual that goes off the deep end like that was a saved individual. I don't believe it. Now, I just don't believe it. Someone that would kill his mother, that gave him life, nourished him. What are you shaking your head for, Trish? Someone that would kill his mother. What an evil person. This present evil world we need. Free will. It's horrible. So we need to be praying for these people. And you know what? The day after, there was another one in Oklahoma. Did you know that? They stopped it. The guy was trying to round up a bunch of people in school and get them into the gymnasium so he could just kill a bunch at one time. Now, four times I know of in the last 4 years, they've had these massacres. We're in the end of the end times, I believe.
Amen.
It's just horrible. You know, when you have to tell people to arm themselves to protect each other from each other. That's a horrible place. Bring on the rapture, the gathering out, the catching out. I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it, though?
Yep. Yes.
There's a lot of people that are not ready for it. Not ready for it. Let me continue in here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. He hates what he does in the flesh. It's that spiritual warfare going on. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it. What? But sin that dwelleth in me. Sin is going to dwell in you until the moment you are dead. A dead man can't sin. What's in your flesh that is enmity with the Lord? Blood. Because, you know, we can look and see what the body of Jesus Christ was raised by. It was flesh and bone. And we know flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Flesh and bone can. So it's the blood that's tainted. The body's going to have to die, go back to the dust. There is no doubt about it. Verse 18 of Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Are you struggling with that? I am. I really do. But it says, for I know. But do you know? That's the key. You know, I had a person griping and complaining the other day, saying, well, you know, you're just preaching to the point where you can just go out and do anything. Paul says, for all things are lawful, but they're not expedient, and I won't be held under any of them. But as much as he tried, he could not put the flesh under control. He couldn't. He lived his life as if he was perfect. Of course, in the Spirit, we all are who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Let me deviate a little bit. All sins. Were placed upon Jesus Christ, the just for the unjust, the sinless Son of God, the sinless Son of man, then what do we trust about? How do we get our salvation? you trust that Christ was crucified, that He was buried, that He was resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. Well, that board made a lot of noise. To pay for all of your sins. There is not one sin that was not paid for in AD 33.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I got to tie this into things of religion. I told you last week about me and Op, Alabama, in my class. When I started preaching, how I got one of my best friends in life just got angry. Satan raised his head. He disrupted the whole class when nobody could learn. He said, I don't even believe you're saved. I don't believe a word you're saying. I've been knowing this guy for 60 years. He says, I'm a Baptist and I'm going to die a Baptist. But I'm saved. Now, you can be a Baptist and be saved. Don't get me wrong. But the only way to be saved, the only way, it's not a way, which is numerous, it's the way. One way. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. It's by trusting the gospel of the grace of God, which is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. There is no other way. I don't care what denomination you belong to. That's a social club. Honestly. I was listening just a few minutes last night. I was riding, and McGee, you ever heard of him? I was listening to it. Well, you know, he and I don't always agree on everything, but boy, last night he just knocked it. He knocked a home run. So I go home and I try to draw it up on the internet, and I can't find it. Saturday's was a question and answer on the internet, but Saturday there was just awesome. And he says things like, we believe. You would think he knew how to write and divide the word of truth. Now, he referenced it, but he don't know how. But still, he knew and preached the gospel. He said, I'm not a man pleaser. And he wasn't, honestly. The old man had it pretty well together. Like I said the other day, we'll bring it up. It pleases men to preach and teach things of religion. It does. It does. Oh, Brother Moore told me, he said, every preacher and teacher you ever see's got pride. We should all be humbling ourselves. Things of religion. Things that please men. That's what they like to teach. Paul absolutely was not a man pleaser. Go to Galatians, if you would. Chapter 1. And then we'll sooner or later get started. Just one more. Hell knows. Verse 10. Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle, book, letter, however you want to say it. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Are you a servant of Christ? If you are, you will not please men. It's not your job, if you're called to preach and teach the Word of God, to please men. Matter of fact, you're going to upset men. Suffer persecutions and afflictions in the flesh. Just the way it is. And in verse 11, what does he say? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. That eliminated Peter, as everybody tries to tell you. Peter preached it to him. Hogwash. You know, I love these sermons. Sometimes, to be as educated as I am, I sound like I come out of the third woods. Sometimes it's delivered, but a lot of times it's just how I was raised. I notice whenever I go in and I'm writing something to talk about, I'll correct it. I won't put it is, I'll say it's. I'll put the word ain't, because that's the way I talk. I could use something else, but I feel comfortable within myself of how I am. Verse 12, for I neither received it, what? The gospel of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, be ye followers of me. Why would you want to be a follower of Paul? That's the only information you've got written directly to you from the risen Savior. Gosh, we're going to talk about that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, you ain't got to go there. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Jesus Christ. Now, we're up to speed. How do you follow? What do you tell people whenever they say, I want to follow Christ? What do you tell people?
The risen Christ or the earthly Christ?
There's an earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's also a heavenly ministry that Jesus Christ has. The Savior. I follow the risen Savior. The one that's sitting on the right hand side of God in the throne as we speak, right? Now, why do they follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? There is none contrary to what you want to believe, somebody's ever told you. And I don't, you know, I'm to the age now, I don't mind offending people when it comes to the truth of the gospel. I don't mind it at all. I'm going to tell it like it is. If there ain't but nobody but my family in here, and they might get up and walk out. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to make it nice so you'll come back. I want you all to come back and bring somebody with you so they can hear the gospel of their salvation. There's people, and it's not their fault. I don't believe. It's their teachers and the preacher's faults that do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. They know nothing of the gospel of Christ versus the gospel of the grace of God, which is the same, but it was directed to two different groups of people. The gospel of Christ. Pre-prison epistles. Well, I've talked to people about that, and they say, well, what do you mean pre-prison epistles? Well, he had his pre-prison epistles, and he had his prison epistles. Well, who was in this? The Jews and the Greeks. Who was in the prison epistles? Everyone! That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 is talking about. He stripped away the middle wall of partition. So we could come together, twain, two, could come together and make one in the body of Christ, which is an invisible living organism, and you're a member of it. If you've trusted the gospel of the grace of God, and I don't mind people saying the gospel of Christ because I do it, it's interchangeable, but we teach the difference. There's no difference in the saving, the salvation of it. But people want to follow Jesus in His earthly ministry. There is, and I've said this before, there is no salvation for you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. None. It's wonderful books. And once you know the salvation message, you can go back and make all kind of applications out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like John 3:16 and others. Oh, it's wonderful. The Scriptures are wonderful in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But you've got to put them in context. With Romans through Philemon. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. What's rightly dividing the word of truth? It's found in Paul's epistles. Now, Paul was sent with a message. To who? Gentiles. Now look, I'm going to tell you something. I had a preacher call me yesterday morning. He's not from here. And he's been at it about 6 years, and he understands grace, and he does a good job. But what he did, he asked me, he says, what about these Gentiles? Are they the same? No, they're not. A lot of preachers don't know what I'm going to tell you. You should know. I've told you so many times. But the Gentiles in the book of Acts, the Greeks and the Gentiles are the same. All Greeks are Gentiles. Us ungodly Gentiles. That's what that mystery is about in Ephesians. Us ungodly Gentiles without God in the world and no hope whatsoever. That was us. The Ephesians, Colossians. That's a different set of dogs. A different set of Gentiles. And really, I wasn't making a pun there. Dogs. Gentiles were called dogs in the Scriptures. Well, we come up with this our own term on the dog. Those were the pet dogs. Those in the covenant of promise. We're the wild dogs. We eat anything that wasn't nailed down. That wouldn't eat us, right?
Lobsters.
Shrimp. Catfish. You name it. But that's why he went out to get that election. That remnant. In Romans 11:7, he got them, and then in Acts 28:28, he said, "I'm going to the Gentile." And he meant opened it up for everybody. That was those wild dogs added to those pet dogs. But I want you to see something, because most people do not know that. Now I know this term is not in the Bible. This is what I call it: rightly divided, right division of the rightly divided. In other words, you rightly divide Paul's gospel out from all the other gospels. And you find out that it's the gospel of Christ that he's talking about in Romans 1:16 and all the way through the book of Acts. And that's the way it was. Now it's the gospel of the grace of God with the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, I want you to go somewhere here. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. This right now is a continuation of what we started last week. Romans 15, 8. Now I say, Paul writes this book, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Well, there... You know, I read that to an individual, and he said, "I don't believe that." I said, "Because I said it. I just read it. You did too." That was my buddy. Yeah. There is no doubt about it. It didn't say he was the minister of the uncircumcision, did it? It said he's the minister of circumcision for the truth of God. For a reason. To confirm the promises made to the fathers. Well, that's... Who's that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the fathers. It's prophetic. Jesus Christ was a minister to the nation of Israel. There's no doubt about it. You know, there's certain things I don't mind getting in a back and forth, but when it's emphatic and I read it in black and white, and it's so simple that he is the minister of the circumcision, I don't even want to argue about that. I mean, come on. But, in Matthew chapter 15, let's go see what he says. Matthew 15. I remember, and I've told you this before, I remember when I was showing my son-in-law this. He said, "Y'all worship Paul." No, we don't. We worship the risen Savior. We're following Paul as Paul followed Christ. My goodness. But he come around, guys, on his own. What it did, it caused him to get into the Scriptures and dig it out. He proved it to himself, as Richard said earlier. Be a Berean. You don't have to take my word for anything. I'm just here as a messenger, as a servant, to give you the information. You go over there and you check it out. And if you find where I'm wrong, which I can be, you let me know. We'll change it in front of everybody. I don't mind that, because I want to be right. No, Matthew 15, verse 24. Now, in back in 22. And behold, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan, uh-oh, that's a Gentile. Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, cried unto Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Oh, how rude that is for Jesus to do that. You know what? You know what? Over in Acts chapter 10, what Peter told Cornelius? It's an unlawful thing for a Jew to keep company of one of another nation. It was an unlawful thing. But back to this. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Can you imagine right now if we had a Jew walk in here and we told him to get out of here, he's bothering the preacher. No. Or if we went into a Jewish synagogue, I wouldn't go in there anyway. But still, I wouldn't even go in for information because I know they're automatically wrong based upon the Scriptures. Not because of my personal belief, but based upon the Scriptures, which gives me my personal belief. Now, send her away. That sounds horrible. But he answered and said, Jesus, now, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Does that pretty well say that he didn't go to no Gentile? He went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go over to Matthew 10, would you? Back, not over, but back. Jesus is talking to the 12 apostles in verse 5 of chapter 10 of Matthew. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. He didn't suggest it. He commanded them. There's a difference. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. He did not want his message of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to be preached to the Gentiles at this point. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to the house of Israel. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus came for. That's what he came. But you know, after this, after Jesus preached, after Peter preached, there came a day in Acts chapter 9. A wonderful day, guys, I'm going to tell you what. But the risen Savior said something. The message that the risen Savior gave to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, later become your Apostle Paul, was different, as we said, than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if we want to follow Jesus as, what would Jesus do? The bracelets, the necklaces, and everything else. Well, we can respond with, follow the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to inject something that's not in what I've got to speak about. I want you to go over to Acts 9. And I'm not going to talk much about it. I'm just going to inject it. I want you to think about this, honestly. Really think about this. And maybe next week or something like that. Or now. And now's a good time. You can inject what this has done for you. Acts chapter 9. And let me get here myself. That's it. Verse 6. Now Paul had just been stricken down by this great light, brighter than the noonday sun, in verse 6. And he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He showed him salvation right there on the road to Damascus. And then he said, Lord, what will I have me to do? I want to ask you to ask yourself. You know, John Kennedy one time, and I wasn't a fan of John Kennedy, I'll be telling you that. But he had a good statement. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Very profound statement, though. In this case, always asking the Lord for something. Why don't you say, Lord, what will thou have me to do for you? Have you ever asked yourself what you can do for the Lord? No, we always want something from the Lord. We're okay as long as everything, where our family is safe, and we've got a job, and we're putting food on the table, and we're taking a trip to Cancun. I mean, just fine. But when you get sick, Lord, get me over this. Heal me. You ever do that? Of course you have. I did too. Just think about that for yourself. What you can do. Ask the Lord what you can do. I'm assuming, I'm going to make an assumption that Robert did that. And he decided to become a missionary. But there's others I don't know. We go along with our life, kicking down the road, kicking cans down the road. Yeah, we're okay. We're in jail. You know, got clothes, got money. Just think about that. Just think about it. Go to John chapter 13, will you? John chapter 13, verse 20. Christ said this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Whoa! Boy, that is a fabulous verse. It is. In other words, you cannot come to God the Father apart from Jesus Christ. It's impossible in this dispensation. Boy. Just hang on to that verse and go over with me to the next chapter, verse 14. Chapter 14, please.
John 14.
John 14, verse 6. The whole Bible in context. Christ said that, well, Jesus said this, I am the way. And we talked about it earlier. Ain't but one way. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man. That, you ain't got to go back, but he said in John 13, 20 again, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. Well, that's profound for us. So for you to come to God the Father, what must you do? You got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. I'm just reading it. And to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, what? You must receive the one that Jesus Christ sent to you. Who was that? The Apostle Paul. Now, all these people out there that's receiving Peter as their apostle, they've got the wrong message for this dispensation. It's not the wrong message for the past dispensation, or administration, or age, if you want, some people call it that. And it's not wrong for the tribulation, but it's wrong for this point in time. We are in, as you can see, I've got this all drawn up. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God. What happens in here? Somebody preaches you the gospel. You check it out. You have the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sinfulness. You struggle with it. You turn it down like I did for many, many years, and you did too. You thought you had it, so did I, but I didn't have it. We were born here. We trusted the gospel of the grace of God here. We look back to the cross here for our salvation. The man, Jesus Christ, God, the Son of God, paid for all your sins. What's left undone? Nothing. As we know, it's not a sin that will send you to hell today. It's your unbelief in the finished work of the cross. Instantly, in Romans 5:11, we now have our atonement. We ain't got to wait for it, as you mentioned earlier, Richard, in Acts chapter 3, 19, 20, and 21, from the presence of the Lord when He comes back at the second coming. Peter and his bunch, the little flock, that's who that is. They had to endure to the end of their life or until the second coming. They expected to go through the tribulation because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It was offered. And there was another year. The acceptable year of the Lord was offered again. One more year. If that fig tree doesn't produce, cut it down. Well, Lord, give me one more year to dung it. And he did. But after Stephen, that was it. No more. We went into the gospel of the grace of God. It is not in prophecy anywhere. Prophecy was put on hold. Time, as we know it, kept going. But the prophetic calendar stopped right there. But it will start again. When we're raptured, or I like to use the word rapture, even though it's not in the Scriptures. When we're caught up, caught out, to meet the Lord in the air. To meet the Lord in the air. What, excuse me. When our vile body will be changed like into His glorious body. Wow, man, I want that. You know, I was telling somebody the other night. Gosh, I can't even remember what was that. Oh, yeah, I think it was my buddy up in Iowa. I said, you know, the older a person gets, and Harry, you're the oldest person in here. The older a person gets, you got more aches and pains. Because I remember my dad, the older he got, he got ready to go. He just hurt so bad. He said, y'all don't revive me again. I'm ready to go. He was saved, thank God. But I think if an individual is saved, the older you get, you're more apt to say, come on, Lord, let's get it done. Instead of just 18 and 19 years old. I was telling my, and I might have mentioned this last week, but I got to do it again. I was telling my friend this. He said, oh, no, oh, no. And I can look at Robert and Laura, and I don't know their feelings on this, but I can pretty well tell you what it is. See, they got young children. George, my nephew, Roxanne, they got young children in here. I said, bring on the rapture. My buddy said, no, don't bring it on. I hadn't watched my grandchildren grow up yet. What? You're telling me you're saved? Uh-uh. The person... I'm just almost speechless. Bring it on, because you know your children are going with you. You're going to get a new body. Glory is so great in heaven. Our little, beady little minds and a human concept, and the only thing we can think of, we can't even imagine how great it is. The Bible says all these afflictions and persecution we're going through is nothing compared to what's awaiting a saved individual for eternity out there. Wow, that's great. That's just wonderful. Now, if you would, go over to Acts 26. By the way, Richard, I enjoyed your service this morning. I'm going to have to digest it, really. I mean, that was just... I hope I get some comments over the internet about it. Acts chapter 26, verse 15. Now, what we're reading, these three scriptures here we're going to be reading now, is a recap of Acts chapter 9. Now, so look. Acts 26:15. And I, Paul, said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee minister and a witness both of these things. Ain't that right, Rich? Both of these things which thou hast seen, he saw them. He saw salvation. He had it. And of those things in the which I will, future, appear unto thee. Progressive revelation. He just told him you're going to get some more. and some more. Verse 27, delivering thee from the people, which is Israel, the Jews, and from the Gentiles, that's the Greeks. That's the people in the covenants of promise, unto whom now I send thee. If you'll notice, this is a recap of Acts chapter 9. He did not send him to the Gentiles, the ungodly Gentiles, as we are. I tell you what, let me show you who that is. Go to Ephesians. And that's where I believe even grace preachers mess up. Because the word Gentile, they try to tell you that that's us in the book of Acts. How can it be? Let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, wherefore remember, Paul tells these Ephesians in his letter, that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Well, that's just we're Gentiles and we're the uncircumcised. Call that by Israel. That at that time you were what? Without Christ. Yes, we were. Being aliens, this is why, we're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You never were in the covenants of promise like the Greeks were and those Gentiles in Acts. You just weren't there. If you were in those in the pre-prison ministry of the Apostle Paul, it wouldn't have said that you were a stranger from the covenants of promise. But it did say that. You were not a Gentile back in the book of Acts. Get it through your head. Having no hope now. Let me ask you before we go. Did those Gentiles in the book of Acts have a hope? Of course they did. But it says, we had no hope and without God in the world. Well, who was that? That's us. The Ephesians, Colossians. And I'm not going to go into verse 14 and 15, but if you want to read about that clean new man that I actually testified, Ephesians chapter 2, start at verse 11, and what I would say, just read all the way over through 15 and 16. Now, so the risen Savior sent Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And I know you all know it, we covered it quite a bit. In Romans chapter 11, 13, he says, for I speak to you Gentiles. Paul did in his pre-prison epistle. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, how hard is that to understand? A little kid can even understand if it says, I'm the apostle, or I'm the teacher. Let's just look at a little kid, 6 years old, first grade. Does that child know if that teacher stands up there and says, I am your teacher? Does that kid know that? Yes, he does. She does. So Paul says, I am your apostle. Oh, no, you're not. Where does it say that? Where does it say Peter is your apostle? Not a Gentile in sight at Pentecost. Not one. Oh. I'm going to ruffle some feathers. Paul says, I magnify mine office. If you'll notice, he didn't magnify himself. He magnified the office being an office of the apostle. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, excuse me, 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now, he was in prison in Rome when he wrote this book. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Let me ask you this. I'm just going to make an emphatic statement. No one else, show it to me, no one else in the entire Bible claims to be the apostle of the Gentiles except Paul. Come on now, anybody can prove differently? No, you can't. Why are these churches doing this? Get out of them! I'm telling you, you know what it's. I'm going to go over there. Go to Romans. Yeah, that's where we go. Romans 16. Verse 17. It's not what I'm suggesting. It's what the book says. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. That's the teaching and instruction he got from the risen Savior, which you have learned, and avoid them people. You know, you might be like, my buddy again. Well, I know the truth. I trusted the truth. No, you didn't. You telling me you trusted the gospel of the grace of God, and then 3 years later you found out how. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. Took him 3 years to figure out how. No, he didn't. You don't just call on the Lord and say, save me. Save you. What do you believe in anyway? It's a shame. People won't believe the words written in their Bible. And then rightly divided. Like I've said so many times, you do not have to know how to rightly divide the word truth to be saved. You don't. But to come unto the knowledge of the truth, you have to know it. You sure do. You're always going to be a babe in Christ, saved, but a babe in Christ, never learning anything else. You're going to be confused because there is no contradictions in the Bible. But there's confusion, there appears to be contradictions unless you rightly divide the word of truth. What is so hard to gather and to want to do is to trust the Scriptures. I'm going to tell you, this man, I believe his last name was Russell, one of E.C. Moore's best friends, and I got to be a friend of him and his family. He's deceased now, been about 3 years. He was a World War II vet. And this man was a postal carrier, lived on a rural route. And I sat there on his porch, and of course, E.C. already knew all this, but he was telling me. He said, you know, I was a Baptist man, I am now on religion, okay? So let's don't hide that fact. So he said, I was a Baptist, and he gave me the number of years. Golly, the number of years. And he said, when the doors was open, I was there. And he says, I did a lot for that church. I helped all the pastors, you know, and he was a deacon in the church. I mean, this man went again for the religion. And he said, when he heard Brother Moore teach the gospel of the grace of God, he trusted it. But he said, you know, and he'd been saved many, many years when I met him. He said, I sometimes still have a hard problem of trying to just disavow all the things that I did. You know, he felt like, and he was honest, I felt like I deserved something for doing all that. Paul says, I consider all those things nothing but dung. That's what you got to do with your religion. Don't think you're going to, like my buddy thinks, that you're going to go back to that church where they're preaching something different so you can help them. They'll wind up causing you to stumble, not to lose your salvation, but to lose your testimony of your salvation, of how you got saved. They're twisting and wrestling the Scriptures, as Peter says. That was 2 Peter 3:15, I believe it was. But yes, don't be carried away with this. Even Barnabas got carried away whenever Paul jumped all over Peter. The dissimulation. He sure did. Now, go over to Philippians chapter 3, would you? Y'all having fun yet? I am. But what of the Lord thrills me. It makes me want to jump up and down. Shout, as you and I do earlier. You should have let it go. I just don't want to see you jumping over pews and laying hands on anybody. So, Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. Are you perfect in this room?
Yeah.
Christ
in the
spirit. I am
yeah.
in the spirit.
That's right.
Be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, that means have a high opinion of yourself, God shall reveal even this unto you. Be thus minded. Perfect in the Spirit. You know, because over in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's a simple thing to understand. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if you don't walk after the Spirit, you're none of His, it says. I'm one of His. I hope and pray everybody in here is one of His. Because the outcome is not very good. It's very bleak for an individual who does not trust the gospel of the grace of God. I don't care what you believed in the past. If you were walked the aisle for Jesus, got baptized like I did, then I found out 1 week later I was going to hell. The preacher couldn't tell me how to be saved, and he was a PhD in theology.
That was the problem.
Oh, I just praise the Lord that Brother Moore never, ever went to a seminary. Really?
Yeah.
Man. Because it doesn't mean you can't be saved. It doesn't mean you can't come into the knowledge of the truth. But what it does, it hinders you. You've got to, as Richard knows, and most everybody in here, all the stuff that you believe, to repent and be baptized. And 1 John 1:9, if I don't confess my sins, the Lord's going to, what? He's going to deny me? All these things is hard to ever get out of your mind. It is really hard. Were you raised in a denominational church?
Baptist for a while. I was terrified of God.
Verse 16 of Philippians 3. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Paul says, we have attained. What's he attaining? Perfectness in the Spirit. Perfectness, shall I say. I'm there. But this old carnal flesh looks like I'm not. It really does. I mean, it's just pathetic of what I am in the flesh. And I know I've talked to most of you. You feel the same way. I get on the one-on-one with you, and you would think we were somewhere in the military drinking beer and chasing women. We're despicable. Thoughts. Things that come through our mind is saved people. God, you don't like yourself, but it's there. What do you dream about? Holy gosh, you couldn't even tell us in here, could you? A lot of times you can't. We would think, oh, if we didn't know the truth, man, that man's alone. That preacher I had on the phone yesterday, he trusts me to keep it quiet. He didn't say anything wrong. He just let his mind be known to me. Because he knows I'm carnal too. And I understand what he's wrestling with. Remember we started with the Galatians? The Spirit lusteth against the flesh. They're contrary to one to the other. That's going to be there until you give up the ghost. Now, verse 17. Brethren, Paul says, be followers together of me. We've seen that. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Not example, but an example. What does that mean? That's a resemblance to what we look like, what we are. It's a sample or a pattern basically it's an imitation of someone. Example. Now it would say example if it's supposed to have been there. It's example. So it's a model. Paul is a model. He's a pattern, as we know in the scripture. But he's a model for imitation. We should resemble what he is, because he is the first and he is the pattern. And that's who we follow, as he follows Jesus Christ. Now, I think I'm going to stop there, and we'll start back next week there.